realfaith.org.au.
I just wanted to see and meet this guy who works with addicts. He asked me a bit about myself. I told him, you know, what was going on, and then he shared his story with me, and it was quite similar to mine, and I found myself sitting there crying, listening to this man tell me about how he lost his son through alcohol, and I just broke. I hadn't cried since I was a kid.
Welcome to Real Faith. Conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through. Helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's real people, real life, and real faith.
Well, today we have part two of our conversation with Danny and Brooke Sharp, and as we heard last time, they met in a detox center. This was followed by a dysfunctional, unhealthy relationship, and then eventually Brooke left Danny. She took their two children and went to live in a home for women. While she was there, she became a Christian and began a separate life from Danny, who would only come back once in a while to visit the children. And he was so irritated to see that they were reading the Bible, so he would take those Bibles and rip them up. Meanwhile, his life was getting worse and worse as he sank into depression and his alcoholism. Now we're going to find out what happened next in Danny and Brooke's story.
I was about 29 or nearly 30 at that stage. I'd just been going hard really for the last 10 years or so. I was having my 30th. Brooke brought the kids over to see me. We were at a river in Yarra Junction. I didn't have friends. I didn't have anybody, so I didn't see family or whatever. And, Brooke asked me the question on my 30th, what do you see for this year and for yourself? And I said, death. That's what I see. That's what I want. That's what I'm chasing. I'm not searching to get free from this stuff anymore because I just know I can't now. I've tried for 8 years to get free and I can't.
Wow.
And it's destroyed me. So I want to die this year. I don't want to make 31. If I can go back probably 6 months before that, Brooke had noticed how just down I was and she invited me to church just out of the blue.
Knowing how anti-God and everything you were.
Yeah.
So you still did it, Brooke.
It took me time. I knew how anti-God he was, but I knew we were in a hopeless situation.
Yeah, she just asked me and I thought, well, all right, I'll come along. Not to do anything. It was pretty much just to prove that even Christianity's not going to work. Everything else hasn't worked. Why would this? And then spent the next 6 months just, running my own life or ruining it. But then, after 6 months, fast forward 6 months with Brooke at that time in the river, and then the next time I saw her, she gave me a phone number for a man and said, I want you to call this man if you want to try something else, give this man a call. And he's a Christian man. He's a little bit rough around the edges, but give him a call. He works with addicts and, leave it with you sort of thing. And I just screwed up a bit of paper and just threw it away, threw it wherever. And the next 3 days I just was doing my own thing and then I found it again and I was feeling a little bit, a little bit sick again. And
the little piece of paper.
Yeah, the little piece of paper. Found it screwed up next to me bed. Woke up and saw the number and thought, I'm going to call this guy today. I'll see what he's got. I didn't expect any help. I just wanted to see and meet this guy who works with addicts. I'd met a lot of counsellors before and that, and I'm not saying they don't work, but
Didn't work for you.
Didn't work for me. So
you meet this guy?
Yeah, I went and met this guy. Just looking for a guy a bit rough around the edges, tattoos and, and...
Brooke, you're laughing. Why is that? Is he not like that or...?
No, he is. I just think that... I think the story goes that he picked somebody completely
the guy that I was meeting was... He was a little bit late to our first coffee.
Yeah.
And, and I'm looking around for this guy going, who looks a bit rough and There was a homeless guy with with like a really big beard, and
so you're thinking that's got to be the guy
pushing a trolley with all his belongings in it. So I went up and said, "Oh, you know, are you Jeff?" And he just growled at me, and I'm thinking, "Well,
must not be the guy."
I hope it's not him, because that's not a good first impression, you know.
But, yeah. But then you eventually meet.
Well, I did meet, yeah, and well, his name's Jeff Marsh,
who we just had on recently.
Yeah, that's true, and yeah, he sat down and he was smiling, and he asked me a bit about myself. I told him, you know, what was going on and where I was at mentally, and then he shared his story with me, and it was quite similar to mine, and I found myself sitting there crying, listening to this man tell me about how he lost his son through alcohol and his relationships fell apart, just so similar.
Mm-hmm.
And to see how happy he was at that time, and I just broke. I hadn't cried since I was a kid, and this man got me crying.
And you're in a restaurant or something?
In a coffee shop just a local.
And you're just crying right there?
Yeah. Once I started, I just couldn't stop. I went away thinking after we, you know, when we'd finished, I went, what just happened? I don't know. Something lifted off me that day. I think, you know, through the tears and that was just what I needed right at that time. It kept me alive, that meeting.
What do you think touched you the deepest?
Well, I think just his gentleness, his where he'd come from, just a rough background, but he spoke, when he shared his story, he spoke of a mum who just loved him so much.
Helen Marsh.
Helen Marsh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And just prayed for him when that's all she had, when she couldn't do any more for him. And
we know now that, of course, Helen has her own story.
Yeah. And I, you know, I've got a mum, not through the prayer side of it, but just a mum who loves me so much. And to listen to him talk about, you know, what went on for him in recovery from alcohol. And it's not even just to be about recovery of alcohol. It was a recovery of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying things I'd never heard before like that. Like, he wanted his life back. He didn't want to just be alcohol free. He wanted his life back. And
that's what you wanted.
That's what I wanted. Yeah, 100%. That's what I've been searching for since I was 22. I'd never heard those words. It was all about abstaining from alcohol, drugs, and I wanted my life. I wanted life back.
And you knew that it had worked for him.
Yeah.
So that gave you some hope.
Yeah, definitely. And I went away from that, and that's all I could think about was this man, Jeff. And whatever he said or did to me that day, something in me has changed. There's a glimmer of hope. Yeah, I'm less angry.
Really, just from that one chat?
Yeah, I went away after crying and listening. I went away and I was still angry. I still wanted Brooke to hurt, but I wanted it to be a bit nicer
for her. Brooke, did you know he was feeling this about you?
Oh, I could tell. Yeah, it was never, you know, it sounds like, as we share this story, you know, it sounds like we spent a lot of time together, but we actually didn't, you know. There was, a lot of time where we didn't have any contact and stuff. It was the times, I guess, that we did have contact was when Danny did go and get help and he was safe to have around the kids and have around us. So, yeah.
So then he meets Jeff Marsh and things start to change. Did you notice any change at this point?
Well, it's really just a bit of a backstory. What was happening for me is I had decided I needed to put some strong boundaries in place. I'd learnt this new word, boundaries, and now I was going to implement
it. Yeah, it sounds like a theme there for you, which
is
healthy.
Oh, this is, I'd never been taught them. And I was like, I need to put some boundaries in place to protect all of us, including the kids. So I thought the way to get some consistency is to get some court orders put in place so the kids can know that Dad's going to see them on certain days and things like that. At the same time, I was involved with a small group Bible study with some older ladies, And I was telling him about how I'd been to the lawyer and we're going to put these things in place and stuff. And so I became very vulnerable and shared exactly what was going on in my world. And they had said, can we pray for Danny? Now, for me, that was a hopeless, that was a waste of breath.
Now, God could love me, but there's no way he could love Danny, is what you were thinking?
There's just no way. Yeah, there was no way that this man could be changed. I just couldn't see it because I don't think at that point I still understood God's love for me. So, yeah, it happened for me, but there's just no way it could happen for Danny.
It's interesting. So maybe he could love me, but Danny, no.
It was more that Danny couldn't love him. That was where I
sat. Oh, you didn't think Danny could love himself?
That Danny could never love Jesus. That was where my thinking came from. He just hates him. He hates him so much that you're just wasting your breath. But if you want to do that, go for it. And then 6 months later, I was at a camp and Danny rocks up there with another friend. It was a Christian camp that had like a day there as well. And Danny rocked up with this other person who was a mutual friend, who was a Christian, and shared that he'd had an experience.
Our guests today are once again Brooke and Danny Sharp sharing their amazing story. We'll find out the incredible way that God has completely changed their lives when we return right here on Real Faith.
The Word for Today is Australia's most widely read daily devotional, designed to give you practical teaching to keep you focused on your relationship with Jesus. Read it online or subscribe to the free printed edition at thewordfortoday.com.au.
You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. And you can listen to past programs about the impact faith has had on others. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scadabo, and our guests today, once again, are Danny and Brooke Sharp sharing their amazing story. Before the break, we heard how Danny had just shared with Brooke that he had had a spiritual experience. Now here's more of their story.
Yeah, well, Jeff that I mentioned about, I kept meeting up with Jeff, you know, once a week or twice a week, just for coffee and just to chat about what the week had been like. And then he invited me to church, just out of the blue. And I thought, sure, why not? I'm feeling okay. But the week leading up to the church, I was quite a bad week. So I'd planned to go away camping that weekend. I packed my car on the Friday after work and I wasn't coming back. I said, I don't want to get to 31, so I don't want to. This is a weekend.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm going away, and that's it.
So even though you had this glimmer of hope, you still felt...
Yeah, I still had lots of down moments. The glimmers lasted for a bit, but, you know, they could be overridden like any other feelings I'd had. If I numbed them out with drugs or alcohol, then they would disappear. So I had planned to go into the bush and just not come back. But it was, on the Friday that Jeff rang and invited me to church on the Sunday. So I found
on the very weekend you were going to end it all, he called you up.
Yes. So all of a sudden I'm left with, you know, what do I do? Do I go camping or do I go to this church, which I've never been to?
And camping meant death.
Yeah. And... well, luckily for me, I ended up not going away, and I went to the church on the Sunday and met Jeff there, and that was a pretty different experience for me. You know, I walked in and worship had already started, the music, and walked in and everyone's up dancing and singing, their hands are up in the air, and...
and you're thinking...
my first thought was, I thought I was on the drugs. But it seems everyone else is here too. So, there was lots of happiness in the room. That's what I first noticed. And, so that was my first experience. Nothing sort of really happened out of that, not that I knew at the time. But, over the next few weeks, I kept going back on the Sunday, and it got to the point where I really wanted to go. So I made sure on the Saturday that I didn't drink or have drugs so I'd be good for Sunday morning so I could go to church. And, yeah, it was probably the fourth time that I went there that I was just listening to this song that they were singing up the front, I Can Only Imagine, and it broke me. I sat down and I love that song. I love the words. Mm-hmm. I love the feeling that it gave me inside listening to that song. And I don't know, Jeff must have been watching me or something because he came over and I said, I don't know what's going on. I love this song. You know, I didn't drink yesterday so I could get here and feel good or better. And he told me that this feeling, this is Jesus. This is what he offers. This is what he wants for you. And it only gets better if you want it. And, yeah, I said, I do. I do want it. And it was a Good Friday. Yeah, so that was the day I realised that whatever this is, I want more of it. So I asked Jesus into my life. But I didn't really know what that meant. Mm-hmm. It was more I was asking the way I was feeling. I asked that to continue. That's what I wanted. I want to feel like this. And if this feeling is called Jesus, then I'll take it for sure. So,
now take us up to the time that Brooke is referring to, where you meet her at a camp.
Yeah, well, it might have even been that weekend, the Easter weekend.
Oh, the same weekend.
Yeah. And
so this is fresh. This is raw. This just happened to you.
Yeah. So it was a Good Friday service at the church I went to, and Brooke was up there and at Belgrave. So a friend that, you know, I'd been hanging out with a bit, who the Christian lady, but who came from a similar background. She was a good lady. She took me up to Belgrave and Brooke's up there, and I said, you know, I just become a Christian, and I just hug somebody, and I don't hug. I'm not a hugger.
What did you think when you saw that, Brooke?
Yeah, look, I was pretty blown away at that moment.
And I should say that this is Belgrave Heights Christian Conference, which is every year for several decades. It's been there for this conference on Easter weekend.
Yeah.
And people camp around there.
That's right.
So that's where you were.
Yeah. And I had actually gone with these ladies who were praying for Danny. So they were there at this point as well.
Oh,
so,
wow. Looking closely.
Yeah. So they got to hear, what was going on for him too. So this had happened for Danny, but I was still hurt. So it was a moment, but I wasn't sure that it was a real moment.
Well, I think me telling Brooke and those two ladies were there, and Brooke said, you know, I want to introduce you to somebody, you know, and they told me they'd been praying for me. Still, it made no sense to me. I was starting to get a group of guys that, you know, I was starting to trust, Jeff being one of them. Yeah. I'd met another couple. Jeff had started up a group called Elisha Care. So I'd met a couple of guys there that, you know, two of them gave me some work. So I was starting to get involved in their lives a bit and them in mine. So, you know, it's great that these ladies were praying for me, but I'm getting the real help from these blokes because I didn't understand what power prayer holds or anything. Yeah, and I think I realised that this was going on for me. Brooke's on her journey. I don't even know what this looks like for me, but it's really happening to me. I was still drinking, you know, nightly, but I'd wake up and I'd still have these feelings inside me. The drink wasn't pushing it away.
Because normally you were drinking to kill feelings.
Yes.
But all of a sudden you were having feelings that you didn't want to kill.
Yeah. And I was going to work and I was happier.
Did your drug use and alcohol use reduce?
Yeah. Once I still took a bit of time, and through Elisha Care, they ran a few groups where guys would catch up, guys and girls.
And Elisha Care is for people who are dealing with addictions.
Yeah, so I met quite a few people, some who were where I was at, some who had been off the drugs and that for 10 years and just loved Jesus. And you ask them how they did it. Jesus did it for me.
And then how did the two of you get back together?
Oh, that took a fair bit of time. And it was certainly not in my thinking or Danny's thinking. You know, we wanted to, you know, do the best we could, I guess, for our kids. But there had been a lot of water under the bridge. Anyway, to cut a long story short, Elisha Care were doing a baptism day. And we were both involved with Elisha Care. And so on this day, we decided that I would get baptized. Danny was going to be baptized. There were some other people baptized down at
Torquay. So you're both getting baptized, but yet...
Yeah.
You didn't think there was any hope for you guys getting back together?
No. No, yeah. I say that, but I guess there was always that glimmer of hope. I think when you've got the father of your children, I think for most women, I'm going to risk it and say for all women, they want the father of their children around. They do. Mm-hmm. And so there's always that little bit of hope. And so we had our baptism on this day.
I mean, that's pretty monumental in and of itself. Totally. Both of you who met in a detox center being baptized.
That's right. It really is. It really is. Anyway, so the following day, because we were all away on a Elisha Care camp, and the following day Danny came to me and asked whether we could just go out and have coffee without the kids and just hang out. And so we went out and we hung out together, which was the first time we'd ever really, like, we never dated or anything like that previously. And so we went and just hung out and we talked, and there was intimacy there without being intimate, if that makes any sense. It was a conversation, and the way we could talk was totally different than I'd ever experienced with him. It gave me kind of butterflies. It was like I was meeting somebody for the very first time, in a sense.
Well, he was technically a new creation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was about 2 years after becoming a Christian.
Unfortunately, we're running out of time, but we want to fast forward to some more good stuff. So you eventually got back together, and now you're passionate about some ministry work as well. So kind of take us up to what has happened since the two of you were reunited.
Yep. So we spent 5 years separated, and really know that we couldn't have brought this back together, that God has totally brought this back together.
Mm. Fantastic.
And I guess in knowing that he has done this for Danny and Brooke, it's that possibility that he can do that with other families. Mm-hmm. He can restore other families. So at present, I'm doing work now at Benwarin. So the place that I went to in my absolute mess, I'm now able to be working there 3 days a week and being able to give back to those girls that are now walking through the door who I can completely understand and identify with.
Yeah, how long have you been helping there?
Yeah, so I've been working there for probably the last 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you've seen all kinds of ladies come and go in desperate situations.
Yep, totally. Yeah.
And have been able to minister to them.
And give them hope.
And Danny?
Yeah, I think being part of Elisha Care, I've been part of it since, you know, I first came in. I'm still part of it now. So Elisha Care, we've gone from, you know, just hanging out on the street, having coffee and catching up with guys, to now having a garden and lawn mowing maintenance business. And I worked in that business for 2.5 years, and some of the guys I got to work alongside were where I used to be. They were just messed up, and a lot of them had kids.
So you're able to help them?
Yeah, yeah, yep. I don't know whether I helped them, but I was allowed to be involved in their lives, and they got involved in mine and involved with, you know, Brooke and the kids, and we'd catch up, and some of the times it'd be hurtful. You know, they'd see me with my kids and it would hurt them too much.
Hmm.
But,
and you know what that feels like?
I do, yeah. And it can go one of two ways, really, that I've seen. Guys that it drives them to go, I want more. I want what Danny's got and what this God
did you
or
ever
this
think
Jesus.
Somebody would look at you and say, I want what Danny's got?
Nah, only my beer.
That's not kind of where I was going with that, but I get you.
No, I never thought that.
I want what Danny's got. He's got something special. I want that.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, not all the guys see it like that. Mm. Some of them go back to what they were doing previously.
Yeah, they have a choice.
It's too hard.
Yeah.
It's too hard. And an addiction, it's not an easy place.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fight. And It's the second most powerful thing I know is drug addiction, alcohol addiction.
And first being?
Well, Jesus. Mm. Jesus is the most powerful thing I know because he overpowered this for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a chance to share that with guys I did for 2.5 years, you know, of working for Elisha Care. And most important, you know, I've loved doing that. And any opportunity I get now, I work for myself now, but I get to take guys out with me who are involved with Elisha Care. Or
so
not.
You're still involved with
I
Elisha
am still
Care.
Involved, yeah. We're on the board of Elisha Care.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, come along leaps and bounds.
Fantastic.
But, yeah, I still get a chance to, if any opportunity I get to walk alongside a guy, and if he's got struggles, you know, with alcohol and that, I've got a bit of experience, you know, with it, so I can pick up on, you know, maybe...
And give them encouragement.
Yeah, and maybe what's really going on.
Wow, unbelievable. Mm. Started off in a detox center, both struggling with addictions, to where you are today on the board of Elisha Care, and you've been working with Ben Wearin for several years, so you're helping there. Unbelievable transformation. What a fantastic story. Brooke and Danny, thank you so much for sharing your stories with us today.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks for having us.
Our guests today have been Danny and Brooke Sharp, sharing their amazing story of transformation. And as we just heard, they are now on the board of the ministry Elisha Care. For more information, the website is ElijahCare.org. That's ElijahCare.org.
You've been listening to Real Faith. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.